This is so exciting. Okay, so welcome back to another episode of Conversations with My Conscience. But today we have both consciences present. We have Baba and we have Afaf in the studio. So you're going to hear them both. And I think this is episode 23, Dad.
Inshallah.
Yeah.
It's been some time.
Yeah, it has been some time. I haven't seen you since I've been back. But we're going to try to split this into two episodes. The goal is to, because we're here for 2 hours. The goal is to split this into two episodes. So even if this episode ends abruptly, I'll try to insert a watch, you know, if you want part two, you have to wait until next week. But that's the goal. That's what we're trying to do. But we're also winging it. So, yeah. Dad, how have you been?
Alhamdulillah.
You've been missed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good to know.
But you know, the last video, there were a lot of comments just because I suggested maybe we're going to do one, like two episodes a week, one with you, one with Afaf. And everyone was like, yes, two episodes a week. And I'm like, oh my God, the money I need to spend on studio. It's a lot. So we're trying. But Foofs, you're very quiet. But why are you quiet?
No, I'm waiting for you to finish.
I don't know. Anyway, I'm figuring it out. So we're going to give this a try of having both of you together. So I don't know. Let's see.
I think this is the trio the followers need.
Right? The Holy Trinity, if
the
you will.
The Holy Trinity. And all of us are so different.
Yeah.
In thought, thinking.
No. All of that.
We have same principles, but yeah. We're all different.
Yeah. Okay. I understand what you're saying. Yeah. I think we process things differently.
It's not the differences. It's the uniquenesses.
Yes. Things. Uniquenesses.
For sure.
Ya Allah, Bismillah.
Ya Allah, Bismillah.
Okay, so Afaf is going to mediate the conversation, but she's also obviously going to input. And anyway, I'm not going to just go for it.
I'm going to be a little biased because a lot of the conversations or topics is something I actually want to hear from
Baba
and Layla.
Yeah.
Amu, do I say Baba Saleh? Amu, how do we do this?
Big boss.
Big boss? You know what? I love that. I'm going to do big boss.
No, please.
No, just big boss, fine. You said it, you
no,
get
no,
it.
No, please don't do that. It was
a joke?
It was a joke. I'm keep kidding, it there, please.
Arbab, big boss.
Arbab!
Amu Saleh. At my pole studio.
Inflate my ego as much as you can. Just call me Amu and I'm okay.
At my pole studio, the receptionist, she's Filipino and her name is Rachel. She's the sweetest and we call her Arbab. And she loves it because I was like, Arbab, when's this class? Arbab, what can you book this class? She loves it.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Just call me Amu.
Okay, guys. So this segment is going to focus on love, relationships, men, women, and all of the fun stuff, Layla, that your followers and our viewers and audiences
really
love to
see. Yeah,
they're
yeah,
obsessed
for
with
sure.
These topics.
They are.
So Amu, honestly, we need the full, unfiltered.
Daddy.
What you think? What is your experience?
Yeah.
How you're no, so wise.
We don't need to hear his experience because I get the ick whenever he talks about his women. I'm always like, don't. Just don't. I don't need to hear it. But unfiltered, raw. Give us the real shebangawang.
Well, the good thing is that I cannot give you a role because we have a saying, "Laysa kull ma yu'lam yuqal," because there is a limit for what people can take. And I see.
Oh, I understand for sure. By the way, Sarah and I have spoken about this before. The girl who invited me on her podcast, we were like, we say like 5 to 10% of what we actually want to say. If I went full throttle, it'd be very different. But my point is, Daddy, remember there was an episode, and by the way, I still get DMs about it, like, release that episode. I just posted the bloopers on my stories, remember? And I'm like, no, it was a really bad episode because my dad and I just kept missing each other. So the point is
please
today...
Please release it.
No, Baba,
I think
it's bad.
It was a good one.
No, Dad, it's really... No.
Well, Dad, can we leave it to the audience?
Lala, Baba, I watched it 3 times just to really test it. Dad, it's... Look at Afaf. No, it's bad. It was a bad episode.
Okay.
Because we were, I know, Inta are talking about two very different things.
And that's fine. I was there as well.
No, Daddy, it wasn't good. It's not a good look.
I was there on the episode, I think. I was sitting. The sidelines. And I mean, it was nice. It was very engaging. But I'm like, okay, she's not getting it. He's not getting it.
Yeah. So my point is today, and don't miss me.
Yeah, this is what happens when I try to add another dimension to the conversation.
Amon, Papa, and you didn't try to add another dimension. You tried to generalize and not go into details, which is why now Afaf is prefacing this by telling you, I want clear-cut answers. Tamam?
Okay,
let's start.
We'll see.
Okay? Yeah.
Okay, let's
you
go.
May proceed.
Super excited. Okay, let's start off easy. Okay?
Okay.
What is your definition of love?
You're asking Baba.
I'm asking both of you.
Daddy, what is your definition of love?
Well, what is my I do not have a definition of love.
Yeah.
I am not capable of defining such a heavenly concept. I'm actually capable of receiving it. Am I capable of giving it back? That's another question mark.
Yeah.
What most people, what we've been fed for the last, I don't know how many millennia, is that we're capable of loving.
Yeah.
And love is this and love is that. While in reality, we're not capable of loving. We're capable of receiving love and reflecting back.
Yeah.
Reflecting it back. And that can only happen if your reflector, and the reflector here is purely your heart, is clean enough, shiny enough, well, polished enough to allow this receival and reflection process to happen. Love is a heavenly concept. Love is a gift that God, Jalla Jalalu, our Lord, our mighty creator, had jealously kept for himself.
Amen.
And then from there, he, with his generosity, shared with his creation.
Yeah.
And asked us to pass it. So, I mean, I don't know if that can give you any idea of what love is. Love is what keeps the water molecules together. Love what keeps the whole physical, universal, and so laws together. Love is the only glue that keeping the whole system, what you see and what you do not see, functioning in this amazing, perfect way. We just pass by it. And most of the time we are like, oh, but she doesn't love me. Oh, he doesn't love me. I don't love you anymore. I lived with you for 10 years. I had six babies from you.
Yeah.
But now I don't love you anymore.
He's referring to a lot of the divorce rates are because we fell out of love. And to him, it's the thing where it's like, I don't want to even hear that. The second someone says I fell out of love, he shuts it down, you know, because it's insane. As a concept, if you really want to break it down, when you talk about love the way he just explained it,
and then
you say, I fell out of love, you take love and its grand whole divinity and the grandeur of what it is. And number one, you assume you even understand what it means. And number two is you diminish it down to the worst parts of humanity to I fell out of love. It's very evil.
It's very evil. It's like, I am in love with you as long as you're pampering and looking after my whims and caprices. And then whenever, I mean, like, all right, she is doing her best job looking after you and after her children. And I'm not going to take it from the woman perspective. And the man just had a new secretary who's half her age. And now he's out of love with the old woman who spent the last 20 years around him or 15 years around him. And then the concept of love is being, and the word love is being taken.
Basically, they mopped the floor with it, of course. So I said this last time in our video, our episode, sorry. I said, to me, it's God, love, one and the same. And a lot of people might tell you, especially in the super Muslim community, they'll tell you kufr or whatever. But to me, it's, I cannot think of God and not be overwhelmed with love. I cannot think of God and my anger still stays. It subsides immediately. And I mentioned this as well before, that especially when it comes to love and the definition of love, I won't claim to know what it means, but on my 29 years on earth, okay, this is what I think the definition of love is. To me personally, the definition of love is exactly how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam moved. It's how he spoke. It's how he dealt with his people. It's how he dealt with his wives. It's how he dealt with his enemies. It's how he handled war. It's how he prayed. It's all those little stories and hikmahs we hear. To me, that is the definition of love. So to even as a woman, to attempt to re-embody that to the best of my abilities is the closest I can come to moving with love.
And why is that?
Because he is the epitome of love.
Yes, because he's the epitome of reflection.
Of love, yeah. Ameen.
You know, if you look into our holy book, the word love is mentioned so many times.
But never when it comes to a relationship.
Abadan.
Not, well, it's not an Islam relationship is... marriage, obviously.
Not to emotions.
Why is it not mentioned? Why do you think it's not mentioned?
It's not I think, it's I know. So because it is a fact that it is not mentioned in the Quran, love isn't mentioned between a marital couple. It's وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا مَوَدَّ وَرَحْمَ. And mawadda here means la douceur. Yani, there's not even an English word to explain what mawadda is. That mercy, that softness, that empathy, it's all in one. And rahma is literally mercy. And then you look at relationships, and then I fell out of love, or you cheat, or you leave, or you break up, like it's like you're having breakfast now. Relationships, we get in and get out, and a lot of people will be like, oh, it's because we learned our standards. Sure, if that's what makes you sleep at night, if that's what you need to tell yourself, okay. But there is no mercy between couples these days. Mafi.
No empathy. No sympathy. Empathy.
No mercy. During the relationship and after the relationship, look at how they talk about each other. Look at how they, if you mention the other person's name in front of the other, the look of just vindictiveness, excuse me, and this grudge on their face. وين المواد وين الرحمة مسحتوا بعض الأرض.
And what is the parameter that makes a whole a couple relationship an uno, an acceptable and a healthy and an amazing parameter relationship? What is the parameter? It's there in our Quran.
Yeah.
What is it?
I don't know.
Sakina.
Oh yeah, I do know this. Sorry, I do know this. They say, you know, you should marry her for her religion and marry him for that. But the truth is, you should marry the partner who brings you peace. Sakina is Sakina, just peace,
serenity.
Yeah.
Peace.
Oh, I do know that. My bad. For sure.
Allah. And the word love in Quran almost always came conditional. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهَ. There is always, it's a system. It's a very well-founded system of receive and take.
Can I add to that? I actually think that's beautiful because, you know, this trend of unconditional love, and especially in my comments, people really lose their minds about they really know how to unconditionally love. That's such a big claim to make. With no receipts to back it up.
Show because me one even, case of unconditional love.
Because even in the Quran, like you're saying, it is conditional because conditions means idhas ala your ego. Condition means go out of your way to cater to love. Honestly, I'm really tired of it. People making these grand, big claims about love and you've done nothing to earn it. You do nothing to cater to it. You do nothing to bless it, to respect it, to put your ego and your whims and your needs and your impulses aside to do what you need to do in order for love to survive. And that's why the rates of divorce are so high and couples are miserable. It's not because y'all have standards and suddenly know what you're worth. It's because you really have no idea what love even is to begin
with. It's actually because you broke your standards.
I mean.
You are romanticizing that which is evil.
I mean.
You're just adding this romantic thin veneer on that which is decaying and horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Facts.
I love that.
Foofs, what do you think?
I honestly... So for me, in general... We think we know and understand what love is, but genuinely, I think it's beyond us. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It is absolutely beyond us.
I agree.
Everything we know is the surface, but I completely agree with you both that I don't want to sound cliche and lame, but like if you really don't love yourself and if you don't have a proper foundation and roots of who you are as a person, you cannot be capable to love. And
I agree.
Yeah, that's what I believe for and stand for.
I agree. I was in Jordan and I saw a friend who basically had just uprooted their entire lives and you know, everything fell off its axis, which, you know, the only constant in life is change. And it's a very familiar thing we all go through. And through the conversation, that point came up of... The whole point is the only constant in life is change. Upheavals are going to happen. They're going to happen. Life is going to throw you a curveball. It's going to throw you a curveball. The goal is to be so sure in who you are and so anchored in who you are. And on this podcast, it's through God, always, all the time, no exceptions. That no matter what happens, no matter where you are thrown, no matter what life or anyone throws your way, you are very capable of handling it because it's, these are my hard limits. This is what my definition of who I am is. And this is what God instructed me to do. And that way anything happens and you figure it out. Or at least you try, you're able to.
The only... almost quasi unconditional relationship
is God's love for us.
No, that's different. That's completely different. I'm talking about human to human.
Oh, human to human.
Is the relationship of a mother to her child.
And
especially to her infant.
Yeah.
And it's not always.
And it's not always. We
That's
always
why
say
I
this,
use the word quasi. It's just, it's not. And the elder the child, the more the conditions start to seep in.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the old Arab Muslim wisdom, that we receive different forms of so-called love. And they are actually distributed on the body in different places. Like one of the major mistakes that a man could do is to take his attraction or fascination or enamoration of a woman and fill his heart with it. That would destroy him.
Yeah. Is this like Majnun Layla?
Like Majnun Layla.
Because I was, subhanAllah, I was thinking about that, yeah.
And men are very susceptible to that. Men are extremely susceptible to that.
Where?
What men? On the contrary, what's being propagated to us, that women are way more romantic than men.
No, women are not more romantic than men.
That is not
men.
True.
You know, you said this to me, and my little residue of feminism that was left in me, when you claimed that men are so romantic and they're more romantic than women, I became so defensive internally, and I was like, no, there is no way that that is true. And then I looked around. And I read books and I watched podcasts and I just opened my eyes to maybe, Layla, you are wrong. And I really realized, I'm sorry, but women are nowhere near as romantic as men. Nowhere near.
That's how
men
nature.
Are hopeless romantics. Now, do they, and I'm talking about men, so don't come for me with the little toxic boys that you're dating that weren't romantic to you. That's a little boy with mommy issues, not who I'm talking about. A real man is... Oh my God, Pride and Prejudice.
Do you even have any idea how romantic it is to die for someone?
Yeah.
A man would do that.
A man would die. He would lay his life down and die for you. Ooh.
Die for you, die for his child,
go
die for
war.
His country.
Go
die,
to war.
Like, do you really willingly? Like, no, he's not being drafted and dragged out willingly.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
Save the women and children before.
Yeah.
Before saving himself.
Yes.
That's romantic.
Yeah, by the way, all the movies that we watch, right? Titanic, certain things like that, it's when they're willing to literally die for the woman
they love.
That's
a reality.
That's what to us makes the movie the most impactful. It's like, oh, he was literally willing to lose it all for that one girl.
But that's
and then we're swooning in the behind the scenes.
And Miss Jane or Miss Maria, who just were waving him dying, they will show you, I'm just picking names, they will show you her 2 years later married to another man.
All right.
When the guy goes to war and he's missing maybe an action.
6 months
or the helicopter,
and she's with another man.
And then he comes back home and like she found a new man.
This is Miss Lala. Wait, Whiskey Lullaby, the music video.
Do you know that one of the richest men in the world now, is Tata from India, he promised his love when he was almost a teenager.
I know this.
That he would, if I do not marry you, I will never marry. And till now, he's an old man.
Oh,
that's
heartbreaking.
Beautiful.
Like, tell me, how many women would do that? Sorry, guys, I love you.
No, like, I love women too, but women won't do that. Especially in today's day and age of, if he wanted to, he would, so I'ma go get mine. What do you mean? She's gonna be, I get it, you know?
Actually, on that topic, now that we're here, I have a subject.
Okay.
Okay. What's the difference between a man and woman emotionally, and are we wired a different way?
Absolutely, men and women are wired differently.
Completely.
And anyone who claims otherwise is insane and is feeding into the demonic agenda of trying to make us equal. I really want to state this, okay? Who told you that men and men are equal? Who lied to you? How is a man who works hard and wakes up at 6 a.m. every day, goes to the gym, serves his country, his wife, his whatever, the equivalent of a man who wakes up at 6 p.m. and smokes weed in his basement? Who lied to you? How are women equal? How is a woman who is stronger than me, more proficient in languages than me, has a PhD in engineering, equal to me? Like, why? That is an insult. That, honestly, for feminism, that goes against your claim, because I'm taking away a woman's accolades, a woman's achievements, a woman's hard work and the sweat on her brow to claim that we are equal. Who lied to you? Who?
It's, again, going back to concepts that humanity has been built on and alter them gently, just switch them a couple of degrees to the right or to the left, and the whole path is destroyed.
Yeah, the whole equilibrium is off balance, yes. For sure, for sure. This, and then, I don't know if people, you know, I watched a Candace Owens podcast yesterday with Neil Oliver, and she was saying people are really starting to wake up to these tropes that used to work back in the day and no longer work, because Tucker Carlson's interview with a historian, and they tried to make it very anti-Semite, blah, blah, they did this whole thing, and them trying to cancel him enabled that to be one of his most viewed podcasts episodes. And people were like, wait, it's not as bad as what you claimed for it to be. And now I'm like, so take that energy and trickle it down to everything. How long have you guys been trying to claim that men and women are equal, that we're all equal, that no one is different? You guys have been trying that for the past decade, two decades. It's not working. People are waking up to know we're not equal. Equal, and then they want to claim it's no, it's the equal opportunity. But even then, no, not everyone deserves the same opportunity when they haven't put in the same work, when they haven't strived for it in the same way. I work for certain things differently than Afaf works for certain things, than you work for certain things. And it is illit adab and aib on my end to claim that, no, I deserve what you deserve when you're more hardworking than I am.
This is not seeking equality. This is not seeking privilege and entitlement.
It is. It's being lazy and wanting your cake.
Yes.
But how are we... So how are men... Are women and men different emotionally?
They are, absolutely. And men are... Okay.
Break it down for us.
The way I view it, and then Daddy, you can say your opinion. From what I have witnessed, and I'm speaking really objectively speaking here, women are emotional. They are emotional by nature. Now, there's a beauty to their emotion, but it's very demonic the way they've done it by design, that we're making women over emotional to the point where we're hysterically crying on social media, and it's disruptive to society. And with all due respect, it's where's your dignity, bro? Respect yourself, you know? And men are more logical. You know, but now also by design, they're making men more feminine and their logic is nowhere to be found. And now they're turning into little boys who also cry on the internet. So are we different by design? Absolutely. But now they're making us the same in the worst way. But yeah.
Men by nature, by their nature, are extremely mental.
Yes.
They look at the world in two-dimensional.
Yes.
And if you ask a man something, he would tell you, I think. If you ask a woman, she'll tell you, I feel.
Yeah.
And but by the way, she's not wrong. And he is not wrong. The thing is, we need the feeling and we need the intellect. But we need them in different areas and in different...
But we also need them divinely and spiritually in tune.
Absolutely.
Too much feeling and too much thinking where you are completely apathetic. Also, we've entered
a very different... You're not human anymore.
We've entered different realms. Yeah.
The whole concept of the existence and the beauty of this universe we live in is in the balance. Mm. Everything is tied to each... You know the concept of the butterfly? If a butterfly flaps...
The butterfly effect? Yeah.
Yeah.
Flaps its wings somewhere, something else happens somewhere else.
See... What you think and what I think and what you feel are intertwined.
Yeah, intertwined, yeah.
Yeah, but both are needed. Both now, are. We come to this damaging evil concept of equality. We are equal. So your feelings are equal to my intellect and my thoughts. Are they? They're not.
Yeah, I have witnessed this, unfortunately. I have. And this is why... Sometimes I can come off as harsh when girls tell me, oh, I feel like, I'm like, your feelings have no place in this conversation. Give me facts. Give me exactly what has transpired so we can find the right steps moving forward. And I completely, the second you breathe and you say, want to say something, I forget what I wanted to say.
No, it's okay, continue.
No, Daddy, go. Wallahi, I forgot what I wanted to say.
We are being unfair to women by asking them to like come with their feelings as thoughts. I watch a lot of those debates and talk shows, and you have a bunch of men and a bunch of women.
Yes, I watch those too.
And nothing is happening. They're not getting it. The women are just in their feelings, and they will not ever get a concept of intellect because immediately it shows it's been taken as they have been attacked, they have been interrogated, they are being belittled, while because an intellectual concept tells you you're wrong.
May I give an example of the feminism and the feelings and how, really in a nutshell, I'm going to tell you how why I really dislike it. So I was watching Real Housewives of Dubai, and I was watching it because my friend Talin is on it, okay? Fadi introduced us. And Talin is married to a man called Rafi. They are a very, very, very sweet couple, okay? They're Armenian, lovely, two beautiful little daughters that they have. So Talin is on season 2, and I watched it for her. And I watched the reunion. And it's trash TV, let's be honest. You know what I mean? It's reality TV. You watch it for fun. So during the reunion, Talin's best friend, Brooks, okay? They've been friends for over a decade, apparently, or something like that. And Brooks was friends with Rafi, Talin's husband. Like, very, very close friends. Like, close where it's like brother and sister. Like, you can behdilni, you can give me tough love, you can... They had that relationship. Long story short, they fought, okay? And during the reunion, the fight happened on the show, and I watched it. Objectively speaking, Rafi didn't raise his voice at Brooks, but he said, screw these cameras, you're not doing this. I don't care about these cameras, this isn't happening, okay? So during the reunion, it turned into, and this is where the feminism tropes and words come in, he was very aggressive and misogynistic. I felt very unsafe and uncomfortable. And then even the host of the show, who's a man, was like, but he's, you guys have been longtime buddies. Like, if he talks to you in a certain way, it's fine. Mar'ilu yaha. But it's no, now suddenly it's the feelings got involved, and you're going to demonize this man who is married and has two children. And you're going to turn him into this some sort of monster who's going to make women unsafe. Bro, how... Khaf Allah.
That's weird.
Fear God. Like, I really watched that watching, like, yeah, ya hafidh Allah, no, you're going to turn, and you know, with social media now, they're going to turn this man into a dangerous man. When I've met him, he's really not. He's quite a lovely man.
How if we want to rank what is more essential to the human existence, thoughts or feelings?
Thoughts.
Thoughts.
1000%.
Yet I tell you.
Your feelings matter.
Yet I tell you, out of every 10,000 thoughts, throw 9,999 to the garbage and keep one. Oh,
yeah, because I was going to say, if you're going to say feelings matter.
What am I going to say about feelings? They're actually much more abundant than thoughts.
Yeah.
Because most of thoughts are actually generated with a form of a feeling.
No, the thought comes first and then the feeling derives.
No,
we've discussed this before. When suddenly you feel anxious, you always tell me, go back to the thought that came to your mind that instigated this feeling. But the thing is, you're right, because one thought can instigate 10 feelings. It can panic, anxiety, yeah. Fear, dread. It can entice a million and one emotions in me.
So what I want to say is, thoughts are slightly more valuable. But there is in so much abundance, and a lot of them are actually...
Garbage.
Because
people don't know how to control their minds or train their discipline in the mind.
How low we will go if you're standing with people, but that's what I feel, but and it's valid.
Oh, this is how low we've gone. Have you seen where the West is headed? Because they've prioritized feelings. This generation prioritizes feelings. It's going down the gutter.
Uh-huh.
That's the whole point. That's why these independent journalists and people have come out, because they're seeing society lose all of its essence and its value, and it's barely hanging on by a thread, because we are now moving through feelings. We mentioned this before.
It's horrible. It's like Megan Fox dressing her sons as girls.
She has three sons, and the three are suddenly transgender. The three?
It's scary. It's terrifying.
I don't want to go there, because I actually understand what is happening.
Oh, we all do that. But that's why I said we say 5% of what we can say.
Yeah, of course.
It's done by design. But
I don't know.
But
no, but what I mean is, a parent sees her son, you know, or his son wearing a dress or playing with a makeup. All of a sudden, I feel that my son, you know, wants to be a woman. That's what I mean.
It's feelings. And then we enter these tropes because we want to seem like we're open-minded and woke and we're moving with the times. But you're not. It's very demonic and it's done by design. But it's not just that. It's everything. And they all trickle down into one another. I've spoken about this on Sarah's podcast, on my podcast. Like, we've gone into this. But I always say I don't want to give it any value, because I will not give it... If you talk about it and give it weight, then you're feeding into...
That's actually one of the reasons that
I refuse to talk about it.
I feel the same way about it. I do,
but I always say that I do this podcast and I go in this direction because look back 50 years and look at what's happened in 50 years. Come to me in 10 years and watch it all trickle down here. Mm. That's why we do this and we talk about Islam and life and to fix the day-to-day and the thoughts. so that we can maybe save ourselves.
Men and women are technically right, as if they are being created in two different so-called planets, so-called, like complete different dimensions. But those very unique and very opposite dimensions are actually what make a magnet, the plus and minus. If you go in life and look at most of the essential physical concepts that we live in and most of the energies that we deal with, there is always the yin and yang, the negative and the positive, the plus and minus. And I'm not saying the man are the plus and the woman are the... It doesn't matter. Those are titles we gave. But in reality, there are two different unique energies that need to unify. One of the very important things in Sufi Islam before is a man can only become complete, يعني الرجل الكامل اللي بيسموه, if he get married.
But in Islam, getting married is completing half of your deen. Huh. And I mentioned this on a previous podcast. Do you want to go on? I'll remember what I want to say. I remember what I want to say.
And I'm here talking about a much higher level of completion, which is the spiritual completion. And it's essential that he should be married.
Of course.
And almost, I mean, I don't know if that applies for the woman. I actually don't want to go through, I'm not sure of that.
In Islamically, I don't know. But biologically, and from what statistically we've seen, men, and this is where feminists really took this as a plus, but it's really not, that women can survive without men. If her husband dies, she can live a long life. Men, if the wife dies, especially, I think it's in certain parts of Asia where the ratio of men outweighs something like that, I don't know, the men die.
Oh.
Depression, suicide.
Yes, the extreme. That's where the romanticization of the... You really need to go and understand and read a bit about how the man live and behave. And
all you have to do is read Pride and Prejudice. Mr. Darcy, that's all you need to do. That's all you need to do.
Men actually wither if their wife dies or goes wither.
Oh, yeah.
You would see men that spend 20 years feeding a woman in with Parkinson or with the dementia. She doesn't. In one case, an old man was asked, "Why are you feeding her every day?" And she doesn't even know you. He says, "But I know who she is."
The Notebook.
That's so beautiful. The Notebook with Alzheimer's. That's actually like realistic. It's not a fantasy. I agree.
Like I get sick myself, and people around me and women around me get sick, and I see how I react when they get sick, and I see how they react when I get sick. And I've never went and I said, "You are not doing what," because they're not capable. There is a limit for how much they can go.
Yeah. I want to say something about the marriage. I said this on a previous podcast, but I was a guest on someone else's podcast. What you just said about, number one, in Islam, getting married is completing half of your deen. And in old Sufi Islam, there is this hikmah of a man isn't complete before marriage. And complete here, we mean like on a physical and metaphysical level. I said this before, this is where the modern day men podcasters lost me, the ones who are red pill, blue pill, whatever it is, because they're always talking about a man reaching a certain level of financial wealth and I don't know what before he even locks down a girl. And it really one day just hit me where I was like, wait, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Subhanallah, was not a billionaire when he married his first wife.
Khadija and was the rich one.
Yeah, and in Islam, we have this beauty of, you know, come together and build together at any stage in life. When Allah puts you in each other's paths, Allah puts you in each other's paths, you know?
Nothing.
And they now it's we don't want to build together.
Nothing in our tradition, in our religion, nothing opens the door of life, the door of abundance.
Like a marriage and coming together.
Like a marriage and coming together.
Yeah, but with good intention.
Choose the right partner.
Yeah, this is with very good essential. Intention. So when I say good intention, it's both sides. Intinitik, this is my husband. I'm with him till the day I die. And intanitak, this is my wife and the mother of my children. I am with her until the day I die. And God is at the center of our relationship. But we don't do this anymore. Nowadays, it's, I'm not ready to get married financially. I need to, and I get it. I understand the economic limitations of today. But you guys have really turned it into an excuse not to get married. And y'all think everyone around you is stupid.
Do you know what is the concept of fa'al? فعل that you
فعل حلو like yeah, a good omen you, a positive a good omen
a positive omen in Islam the main three omens that you that a man can have is when he changes a house he feels a good omen about this house or a bad omen and then look at it how changing a house sometimes can open so many doors of wealth
yes
because and if you go to Vastu and the old wisdoms the Hindu wisdoms and so
yeah.
it's and the Chinese there's a lot of work being done there
yeah.
they tap into this knowledge is
universal
it's universal and the other one is al faras which is what you ride
yeah back then it was the horse now it's
your
car
it's your car
mm-hmm.
mar'a and the woman
yeah
and woman come and I really saw this a woman come into your life doesn't have to be your woman come to work with you in the office
yeah
and you see how things just go upside down and the whole energy goes wrong and like wait a minute what is happening and like okay
yeah
or a woman comes in and things just go smooth and business
I just say it لما البني آدم وجهه حلو عليك
الله
yeah
Look for the right partner, and yeah. there are methods, and there are methodologies, and there are ways to help you find the right partner.
I'm
going to
ask you to be specific. I see her getting ready. Ammo, can you give us an example of how
exactly.
you can look? Give us the method example.
Most women will not like it. Bit the man.
But what?
No, but that's okay.
Bait the man?
No, not bait. Bidding.
Betting?
Vetting, what is the right
thing? Bet the man. Okay, you said bed, and I was like, all right, daddy, are you telling people to have sex?
No
like,
way. No, bet.
bet the man.
Guys,
bet the man.
Please remember, I learned English as a teenager.
No, we know, daddy,
English
we know.
It's very good.
Your English is great, papa.
And
I just didn't hear. I'm all the way here, guys.
No, I heard.
Vetting, yeah, the word
I
is vetting.
Something. I heard betting.
I heard bait, and then I heard bed, and then I heard vet.
Uh-huh.
So, okay, how would you vet a man?
By always looking for those around you who have enough wisdom, experience, who can tell you things you cannot see.
And to the people who don't.
Then you are in trouble.
Yeah.
But you are good as the company you keep.
But I get a lot of DMs about this. And Layla, I was going through a rough time. I watched your videos and you talk about you'd rather be alone until you find the right company. And honestly, I've gotten hundreds and thousands of DMs about this. And how do I find the good company?
Pray and ask.
Yeah.
And
be willing to actually be alone until the good company arises.
Because
I was actually willing to be alone
until
the good company.
I had one experience I want to share with you.
Sure.
I was 18, 19 and walking in the center of Cairo, just my second year of university. And I had a major, major issue in my brain that was kind of tearing me apart. I'm walking and I saw a piece of journal, daily journal, newspaper, flying, and it came to my heart, maybe there is the name of Allah on that thing, or let me take it, honor it, and put it somewhere. I swear to God, this happened. I went, I had to chase it a few steps, I took it. Guess what? There was a whole hadith written on it.
Wow. Do you remember the hadith?
Kind of, but it's not the question.
Okay.
The thing is, it actually answered exactly
the issue you were going
through. The issue.
Wow.
I was walking.
Oh, wait, I do remember the story. Okay.
I told you the story.
I know why you
I was walking in public with people around me, and my tears are falling from my chin.
Yeah.
I was so overwhelmed with it.
Yeah.
Just seek and ask genuinely, and you will always be provided.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. I think so too.
I do not think, I genuinely do not think that you close your eyes, wake up in the night or in the morning, just take a corner, sit and close your eyes and ask God for a certain thing once, twice, three, four, five, 10 times, and he will not give it to you, especially when it comes to clarity of the thoughts and clarity of the heart.
Yeah.
And I think what people don't realize is that God answers all your prayers, but it doesn't have to be. It might be in the way you ask if it's good for you.
We said this before.
It might be in the way you don't ask for it, but it's better for you.
Yeah, we said this before that there's three answers that God gives you to a prayer, right? It's either yes, no, or not right. No, not no, sorry. Wait, wait, wait. It's God gives you three answers to your prayer. It's either yes, later, or no, but something different and better. And this is very true. People always pray for something or ask for something and just hammer themselves over this one thing that they think, khalas, you know, life is great when I get it. And then God sends always, like you said, I fully agree, just not always in the way you expect, but you're so attached to what you think it is that you, has to come in a certain way and you need, that you're not allowing yourself to see God's gifts.
When you ask Him from God, do not put a ceiling to what you ask.
Yeah.
One.
People ask through their own limitations, for
Thank
sure.
Thank you. Do not put your ceiling on what you ask. Second, do not put a scenario of how you want it to come. And on the shape, and on, because it comes again and again and again, it knocks your door, it hits you in the face, and you reject it because this is not what I'm asking.
Yeah, trust fund, blue eyes, 6'5".
Yeah. True. True. I agree. Mm.
Very beautiful stuff. Okay, now that we're on this,
yeah.
Layla, and of course Ammo, what do men look for in a relationship, and what does a man look for in a relationship? Do you think that men look for something different and women look for something different?
Men look for their peace.
All men look for the same thing. If you want to put what a man look in a woman, wants in a woman, and be honest about it.
Yes, please do.
All men look for the same thing. All of them. They look for fidelity, purity, peace.
Yeah.
And loyalty. And I'll tell you, you look around, you'll find amazing looking woman, like they're so beautiful and they're not married, and this guy who looks amazing, he's married to a woman that, like, what happened? Was he on drugs when he picked her? Just go and see why he picked her.
Yeah, men, we talked about this
it's
before.
Not true that men are just, we are visual creatures. We are attracted to beauty, and the more beautiful a woman is, the more attention of a man she would get. But attention fades very quickly.
Yes. Yeah.
Especially what we call sexual attention. Like
lust, yeah.
Yeah. She's over this and this is exposed and she's in the... Of course you will have a lot of attention. Go to the bank and cash it, if you can.
Yeah.
Especially if you are in your 50s, where you really need a man around you to... I really, really, I would advise women to understand... See... I watch those talks not because I need to watch them, just to verify what I already know.
Yeah.
Women insist to see a man with their own eyes, yeah. With their own feelings. We tell them clearly what we want. We tell them, I saw it with my own wife, with my own history with women. Baba, this is what I want. This is what I care about. Huh? No. No. I swear. I can testify to it and stamp and give you a thumb. This is exactly what I want. And you insist, keep on telling me what I want and giving me what I do not want and want me to be happy with it.
Layla, yeah. What do you think?
About what do men want in a relationship?
What do men want in a relationship? And what do women want in a relationship? And are they different?
So they are very fundamentally different. Women... We said this before, men need to be needed and women need to be wanted. So with men, they need, your brother actually said this once, men only care about status.
Faisal?
And, yeah, Faisal. Okay. And if women add to your status. And at the time I was very defensive because I was in my feminist era and I hated Andrew Tate. And now I don't hate Andrew Tate and I'm not in my feminist era. So I'm like, wait, Faisal maybe had
what
a point.
What did he say? Why don't you
He just said it? Men care about status. I think it was his delivery and my defensiveness where we clashed. But status, I believe what he was trying to say now that, alhamdulillah, like I see things more clearly. It was just about, does she add to my status in the sense of I'm at peace. I have a loyal wife. I have a great mother to my children. I can go to my office and kill it during my working day. And my wife is raising great minds at home. That is status, because then when you walk around amongst your peers, you're a man who has a beautiful woman and beautiful children and money and the car and a happy life and God at the center of it all. That to me is the epitome of status. So with men, that is a need. And then we talked about this, I think you and me before, of who was I talking? No, I was talking to my friend Sarah when she was saying about men and women and their issues. And I was like, subhanAllah, most of issues in a marriage, I'm going to be really honest with you, can be solved by a man. Because if you are man enough to be a man and demand what you needed, in عدلي أو برجعك عند أهلك, this is what I need as a man. You know what I mean? Things would be a little better because women want to be directed. We need an anchor. We need a leader. So if you manned up and were like, تنعدلي أو بتروحي عند أهلك, what is she going to do? حاضر سيدي حنعد. Maybe not at first, بس مرة مرتين ثلاثة. And by the way, and I'm not saying do this in a toxic way. Do it in a way where you need to take that aggressive, not aggressive, just sorry, assertive step, excuse me, because it's good for your house. And it's gonna make your wife ultimately happier. She just doesn't know it yet.
And by the way, women do like it when men are assertive.
Yeah, and sometimes you're gonna be assertive and I'm gonna be defensive, but I didn't know I needed that. You calmed me down.
It's by the nature of a woman's brain and feelings. She would always test the limits.
She will always test
the limits. It's true. You should see Afaf testing Yuri, her husband.
She will always test the limit because she gets this reassurance that, oh, yeah, he still loves me. Now, this testing the limit can take psychotic
limits. Forms. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Psychotic forms. If you live with a borderliner, if you live with a woman who's deprived from this and that, it can be psychotic because every night she would throw you into this cycle of aggression and anger and screaming. And so finally, you will tell her, no, you are. I still love you. Yalla, come, let's huggle and kiss. And next day, the whole thing starts again. And there is a lot of psychological whatever. If anybody is suffering from that, he can go to it and see how to deal with this.
Yeah,
I'm talking about a healthy woman.
Yeah, we're talking about
an extremely healthy woman.
Yeah,
normal woman,
and not a very healthy woman. Yeah. She will test the limits. She will come to you and balk you. She will come. You know, women love to talk. Men hate to talk. One of the biggest mistakes a woman.
We were just talking about this in the car about Yuri, her husband. He was telling her a story, and we wanted the details. And I'm like, so I'm probing Afaf. Did he say this? And she's like, you know how Yuri says stories. Baba wallahi. Okay, so what happened? Nothing. Did this happen? Yeah. This is how men are. And we're just like, give me details. I need the nitty gritties. What was the facial expression? What were they wearing?
What I would advise women, if you want to talk, talk with your girlfriends.
Yeah.
With your sisters, with you, talk, have a conversation. You know, when those broadcasts, there, I want to have a conversation. You wanna lose your man, have a conversation with him.
That's a little.
I mean, there is always a limit. Sentence.
Okay, when you were fighting with Faisal, he said the same thing to you.
No.
No, that's not what he said. He was saying, why the hell would I talk to, I don't want to air his dirty laundry, but he was saying, why the hell would I talk to my wife about work? Like, why would I leave work and have a bad day and then come talk
and
to my
come
wife
talk
about
to her
it?
About
do you agree, Amo?
It doesn't make sense.
Amo, do you agree?
Of course.
Why do you agree with this?
It's nonsense. I just, you know.
Because was like, what is she going to tell me? What advice? And I'm like,
what is she going to, because I need an advice. If I have a problem, I need an advice. I don't need to tell her that I have a problem and see an episode of Panic. What? Are you sure? You're going to keep your job?
Yeah, women survive? Panic. This is true. Afaf, this is true. We do panic.
Why? The weight we carry on our shoulders and we come... Like I'm here talking about a healthy man. A man who always... His job is to create a safety zone around you.
Yeah. To always make you feel safe. If his goal is to make you... This is true. I think it's just like I said. I think Faisal's delivery and my defensiveness. But if his goal is to bring his wife peace, I'm not coming to her with my problems.
Of course.
Especially to why would I even maybe 1% risk instilling a seed or planting a seed of financial fear in her if my goal is to provide and protect?
Absolutely.
So I will take that shoulder, that burden on my own. That's what I'm telling you. I understand what he meant now. His delivery was just questionable.
And then have a conversation. Talk to... I understand... You need to talk to your man and he needs to talk to you. It's the most difficult thing to master. When to stop, for God's sake, you need to know when to stop.
And this is to women, you're saying?
To women.
Okay. And to men. Hey.
No, actually, men, I'm sorry to say, I don't agree with that.
If you're married to... To
the right man, yeah. It's a dumb,
right,
it's
man,
a little boy who will not stop.
He would always want you to stop.
Okay, yeah, I know, yeah. I understand.
He would love to share your anxiety. He would love to carry in Mano Baba, don't worry about it. Everything is fine.
I need to crack my neck.
And no man will come from outside dragging his anxiety and throw it on you.
If he's a healthy, masculine man, I understand.
I'm saying man. My definition of a man is still a man. You know, I don't call those whatever forms of males that exist around us men. They are males.
For sure, for sure. Can I say something? Because on a few episodes or podcasts, I've mentioned toxic femininity, toxic masculinity, and people have clocked me of, but you mentioned you don't believe in toxic femininity and masculinity. Yes, you I don't, but when I'm having a conversation, I'm not going to go into the whole thing all over again. I don't believe in toxic femininity, toxic masculinity. I just believe in imperfect men and women.
Imperfect,
you know what
men
I mean?
Women.
But if you are imperfect males and females,
yeah.
But then if you're a man or a woman, you are divine and you are in your embodying what a man should be and what a woman should be. Anything less than is just imperfection. You know, but I'm not going to preface it all the time. So I'm just going to say toxic because that's the language y'all speak. I'm trying
but
to
just on that note, what do you think is the problem with men and women today then?
How much time do you have?
I mean, go for it. honestly, Leila and Amo, I want you to answer it separately.
Okay, you answer.
Do you want to answer what's wrong with men and I answer what's wrong with women? Because I'll tell you what's wrong with women and I've had this conversation.
Do you have the same opinions
we
on
do,
it?
We do, very
okay,
much so.
Okay, so go for it.
Very much. I know you're going to add to it because you'll go maybe to the root of it and all that. Number one, first and foremost,
can we reverse
I think,
it? You tell me what is wrong with men and I'll tell you
yeah,
what's
wrong
that. With
women. Yeah, I love that. Do that. Let's go.
Because I want to see how Yalla clear Leila. Your vision of what a man is.
I think what's wrong with men is a lack of relationship with God, first and foremost. They have no true real male role model to look up to aspire to, embody, to reference when they're in a predicament or in a pickle or between a rock and a hard place. And la samah, not la samah Allah, astaghfirullah, what am I trying to say? Lil asaf al-shadid. Very unfortunate that even the father figures in their lives are also males who are lacking. And them they themselves, haram, needed the direction and guidance and didn't find it. So to me, that is the number one thing that is wrong, unfortunately, with men. And then I will add to that that the elites and society and modern day agenda is really pushing men to be the worst of femininity. So men are now very feminized and it's the worst of what a female is. The anxiety, the over-talking, the thinking with emotion, the no taking accountability, the lack of accountability. It's insane. And if you as a man cannot take a step back and point a wrong in yourself and want to do better, you are a waste of a man.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because if you ask me what is wrong with women now,
lack of accountability. That was my answer.
I would tell you the biggest thing that women suffer from now,
lack of accountability,
is the lack of a manhood image in the back.
Yeah.
A real manhood image. Because a woman alone, without a man, in the form of a father, in the form of a brother.
Oh, I thought you were going to say accountability. No,
well,
it's not.
Where accountability but comes
from?
From
a man.
Thank
it's a male aspect. I agree. But Dad, with what you're saying, I'm sorry I'm going to interrupt you. Because when I did the video, the one you picked for me to post, because you picked the video, the reels we post, about the women who are, bismillah, survive off of male attention. A lot of the comments, and this was very interesting, side note, we're going to go back to this. But a lot of
this
the comments
we were discussing.
Yeah, a lot yeah. of the comments were, she doesn't have a male figure, so you need to excuse her behavior. No, I don't. No, I don't.
No, you don't excuse her behavior.
No, I don't excuse her behavior. Am I heartbroken for her? Do I understand where it comes from? Yes. But just because you didn't have there are a lot of women out there who didn't have dads in their lives and made it. They found a way to break through that cycle.
Well, most of the criminals in whatever they are, they have a story to back their
Everyone has a story. By that logic, is everything is justifiable because everyone has a story. So that take, I won't bite. I'm not going to bite from what you're like. I'm not going to pick up what you're putting down. Do you know what I mean? So with what you're saying, yeah, continue. I'm just going to.
I would say that what is wrong with women nowadays, what is lacking with women nowadays is us. What is lacking, what women are lacking are proper men.
I've said this before. I said, even if feminism screwed up men, if you are a leader, it is your job to bring them back. It is your job to find your masculinity somewhere and then hone in on that, perfect that, and come back and save the women around you.
And that's by the nature of being a woman. A woman cannot survive for 3 days if she's left in an island. Or if she loses... Mm. She cannot. A woman cannot survive even in the jungle of a city alone.
Yeah.
Like, look how vulnerable a woman can be.
Yeah.
And one of the things that break my heart, really, is to see an old woman still in job.
Yeah. Oh, that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah
it
yeah.
breaks my heart because, and I go out of my way to do something for them. Because when they're young, at least they had a bit of beauty, a bit of appeal. And women are you know, like...
Yeah, pretty privileged. We'll help a pretty girl.
I'll pick her. I'll let her work because she's still young. Preference always for look and age and. But yeah. What about those who pass their 50s or 40s and still have to survive on a job?
Yeah. It's devastating. I agree.
Like, alhamdulillah, the presence of a healthy male figure in a woman's life, be it her father, be it her brother, be it her uncle, be it even a father of her friend.
Yeah. I agree.
Can make a lot of difference.
It makes a huge difference.
But then women need to seek guidance, which they don't do anymore.
Women don't take accountability.
They don't. By the way, we come and throw all of those things about women. They don't take. They cannot take accountability. They can never say that they are wrong. Well, that is fine. This is how women were created. Allah Jalla Jalalu knew what He did, and there is a reason for it. You know. A woman is not supposed to take any accountability. A woman is supposed to be sheltered from accountability.
Yeah.
When did I...
This is when we mentioned the call her daddy thing last time. Remember? Yeah. When you didn't watch my episode. You should have, because that was a really good episode. You should have watched it.
When did I ever call you and tell you, you are wrong, Baba?
Yesterday.
No. Okay.
Bro, yesterday.
How did I deliver it?
Literally, I am certain I am right. You are wrong.
And I was talking about what?
Money.
About you, your perception of yourself.
No. No. I called you. Yeah. And we were talking about just something that had to do with business.
You attacked yourself. And I stood there and I said, no.
No, I attacked you because you were wrong. And you messed up.
Okay.
I called you and I said, have you even considered that maybe... I am right, and you could be wrong this time. And you said, no, I haven't, because I am certain I am right, and you are wrong. This was the conversation.
Okay. I don't want to go back to this.
Because I was like, maybe my bottle of business, maybe I'm doing something right, and maybe you're doing something wrong.
And you said no. And I said, no, it was about your image and what you're saying about yourself.
No, I wasn't talking about the value. No.
Then I take back what I said.
As you should.
Okay, all right.
As you should.
Okay.
As you should.
But usually, women are supposed to be sheltered and protected from any accountability.
Tamam. But now that we're in a day and age where women are exposed and they're out there and they're facing the sharks and the alligators and the monsters in the jungle.
Allah Jalla Jalalu gave them this lack of accountability as a defense mechanism. It's a defense mechanism. They are supposed to be very, very accountable to what? To the child they carry.
Tamam. I'm just going to add one thing. I love women. And when I mention things that are wrong with women or faults that we have that have been indoctrinated in us or for whatever reason, I always say it's because I want to see women do better. It's because I love you that I will point out. If I didn't care about you, Afaf, as a friend, I wouldn't care to tell you, masalan, babe, this thing, it's like it's making you look bad, or maybe you should do this, it'll better you. I wouldn't care because I don't care about you. Do whatever you want. It makes no difference in my life. But if I care, then the same way you care about me, it's like, Baba, Habibi, maybe let's try to do this. You know what I mean? Because I care. Because women are amazing. They can be.
They are amazing.
They can be. Women can be phenomenal. Like, honestly, just take back the inner child in you. When you see a beautiful woman or you watch a movie with a princess, women are magical. You know? But the magic has been, dimmed.
By the nature of a woman, she has very low ability to detect danger. And.
Dad, you should have watched my previous episode.
Yeah.
Right. What are you doing here? I reshare the call her daddy story so he understands? Because we literally said everything you're saying.
Yeah, actually, go for it. So very briefly.
Can I just briefly tell you this story? Call her daddy. She's a girl, a white girl, blonde hair, blue eyes, the shebang. Okay. And her podcast is taking the world by storm because all she talks about is basically sex, right? She invites guests and they talk about sex and drugs and alcohol and rehab, but they make it look so deep, like, this is what I learned through my sexcapades. Anyway, she has episodes where she's talking to celebrity guests and episodes where it's just her facing the camera talking lahala. I've never seen a full episode of her facing the camera talking lahala. I see clips online, okay? And during one of the episodes, I saw this clip online where she said, Bismillah, long story short, she had been talking to this guy online. They'd never met each other in person. They decide to fly out to Paris to meet each other in person for the first time. She says it was very awkward. There was no chemistry, no whatever. And she still ended up going home with him and at his place. And it was she was very uncomfortable, very awkward. Not that he was dangerous. She was like, Bas ma kan fi insijam. So why would you sleep with him? Beyond me. But anyway, she slept with him and she caught an STI. And the whole point of what I understood from all of that, by the way, she's a married woman now sharing the story. That is beyond me as well, okay? The whole point that I understood from that story is this is why we shelter women throughout history. Because even with you feeling uncomfortable and you feeling whatever, basically what I understood from that story is you expected the man to man up and be like, listen, babe, there's no chemistry. I'm going to call you a cab. I'm going to book you a hotel. It was lovely meeting you. You're a lovely girl. There's just no... So even then, you want to be a boss-ass babe, but you don't know how to protect yourself.
How did those serial killers end up killing hundreds, in certain cases, hundreds of attractive
I know,
women?
But my only issue with this statement is now they'll tell you, oh, so the problem is men.
The problem is men? Yes. There are very dangerous men
There are very dangerous
outside.
Men out there, yeah. Yes.
And a woman not sheltered and not guided is not capable of... And they have charisma. And
Ted
a woman
Bundy.
Without guidance will just fall for charisma.
Yeah.
It's the charisma they look for.
The riz.
But that's what I say to you, Leila. I lived in the States for 7 years, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, it's unsafe. I'm really scared. I'm really scared. But I told you this very clearly. I'm like, I don't put myself in a situation that causes me danger and harm. What did I tell you? I go out when I know it's time to go home. I go home.
I understand.
I keep myself safe. Happens, unfortunately, but like as much as possible, yeah, like I would go out with my brother, not go out alone.
I understand.
Course.
I just don't like to reinforce the trope that men are dangerous because now women are like, oh, the
but
fact
they
that
can be
they
men.
Are men can be horrible. I understand.
Yes.
And women can be horrible. We've established this. But now we're just talking about men. Men can be horrible. But this narrative of I have to walk to my car with my keys in mind because I have to stab someone. Like, come on, we need to discuss, for example, like, I'm sorry, I love Dubai.
Can I ask?
I can walk in the streets at 4 a.m. Ain't nobody going to mess with me. I don't like that trope of it's just, and I understand that there is a lot of truth behind it, that men can be horrible and dangerous. But listen, babe, we live in Dubai. You know what I mean? Mm. I can walk the streets at 4 a.m. I can walk the streets at any time of the day.
Actually, Dubai
is the
God
safest.
Bless this place.
Yeah, I love
amazing.
It.
It actually
I love Dubai. I
teaches you to let go of your vigil and sense of seeking security. Be like because it, when was the last time I thought I would be robbed or my telephone will be taken away or
and there are millions of men in this country. How come I feel very safe? I don't know any of them. Some of them could be psychos.
Because
there's
a fatherhood figure here.
Yeah.
They're the rulers.
I also think the society you're around also in America is built to nurture psychos.
Got it.
Yeah.
Woman sense of you see this we'll go back to the accountability thing.
Mm.
Women are not supposed to be accountable. There is a limit for how far a woman can be accountable to. By the nature of a woman, she is the carrier of a seed, and her mission is to protect and look after that seed with all of her. By the way, one of the prices a woman pay for looking after that seed is her own life. How many women lose life giving birth?
Yeah.
So when I see those broadcasts and they're always pinpointing the woman lack of accountability, the woman lack, you have not discovered anything new. We knew this in history and we knew this in and we accepted it because that's an essential part of making you a woman. Mm. But there is a limit for how far it can go. A bit of accountability is required for a woman, but never ask a woman to take the accountability of a man.
Yeah, especially in a relationship. I really want to urge men, when you're constantly, and I'm talking about the healthiest form of a man and the healthiest form of a woman in a healthy relationship, but these things happen sometimes, despite the fact that your intentions, both of you towards one another, are pure and holy and divine. Don't try to prove yourself right and hammer her down that she's wrong. She could very well be wrong. And it's not about giving women... Actually, it is. It is fully about giving women more leeway and more grace than you give men. It's fine, Habibi. You know you're right. That's how and you know created. She's wrong. Let her think she's right. Why do you want to kill her? You don't understand the effect that it has on a woman when you want to hammer her down and break her for her to admit, okay, fine, I'm wrong, I'm sorry. Like, is that really necessary? Think about it. Is it really necessary? Do you really need to kill her spirit to the point where she needs to just say all the time, I'm sorry, I'm wrong? She doesn't. And it's not going to make your life easier, trust me.
I don't know. My memory, and I'm having this gout, and it does actually affect the memory. But I think the saying says, لا يغلبهن إلا لئيم ولا يغلبن إلا كريم.
Yeah. You are basically, the translation is, you are لئيم, mean, if you want to overthrow and overpower a woman.
And always win with a woman.
And always win. And you are strictly generous and kind when you just let her be.
Thank you.
So even if a woman doesn't want to take accountability, especially in a relationship, you as a man, bro, honestly, believe you me, just make your life easier. Nine times out of ten, let her be right.
No. That's yes, you're right. That's not why a woman is.
Yeah.
A woman is not being...
As long as she's feeding you, she's taking care of your kids, she's making you a happy man, she's bringing peace to your life. Comes. Yeah, just let her... Bro, it's very hard for a woman to admit she's wrong, and it's done by design. You're right. God made us this way for a reason. And you as a man, just, bro, just let it be. It's fine. Habibti, you know what? Okay, انت صح, انا غلط.
It's fine.
What do you want to have for dinner?
It's fine that the food is not wow. كيف لك يا حبيبي بجنن.
Yeah, just let it be. Happy wife, happy life.
Alhamdulillah.
Happy wife, happy life.
And again, and I'm not asking you men to be sissies and just say yes, city. No,
you're not being whipped and a sigma or whatever they call it.
It's this balance. Yeah. There are certain lines where your manhood is required. And هون لا.
Yes.
Stop.
Yes.
Comes to your children, comes to your parents, comes to your to her dignity, to her honor, to her sharaf, to her, yeah. These things you don't play with.
Yeah.
These things you don't play with.
I agree.
And the rest is what?
But that's the sweet spot, isn't it? It's when a man is able to embody those two aspects of, I'm going to be soft and sweet and kind with my woman, in the sense of like, I know she's wrong and I know I'm right, but okay, Habibti, you're right. Happy wife, happy life. And that's acceptable within limits. When it comes, like you said, to my dignity, my status, my kids, or even your dignity and your protection and your safety, this is where I will man up and be assertive. And it is only the men of men that is able to differentiate between both. And yalla, khadlak, find one.
I remember we had a woman that comes help in the house. And you were a teenager then.
Who?
She was from a small town out of Amman. And she once came. She came with a big blue eye around
her.
And I was asked to help her. And I was told she fell down. And I think she said she fell down on that.
Anyway, she came up with an excuse.
Yeah. So when I saw her, I said, what happened? She said, I fell down on a chair. I said, Allah yiksir idu hal kursi.
That means may God break the hand of this chair, yeah.
Because the way I said it was very clear that I know who did it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Her husband did it.
Yeah.
And what I want to say is, what I'm telling this story for, is that a woman can be very, very vulnerable in a very unbalanced relationship, especially with a man.
Of course.
And in certain societies, that man used to make her go work in other people's houses.
Yeah.
And he takes the money when she comes back.
Yeah.
And I told you then, I remember I told you, I said, see, a man can be so mean to the point that he does that to her. And then she comes back home and he also asks for his rights. Cook, do this, do that.
Sleep
and
with
my,
me, yeah.
Yeah, and my, like men can be monsters.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And I am I propagating anything? I'm so much against this. I'm so much against any insult. Humiliation to a woman.
Yeah.
In any way or form.
Yeah.
correction, taking your step, standing on line, and not allow...
Which is, like I said before, when you're assertive with her, and she, even if she's fighting you, you know it's for her good, and you just, you have to be assertive, and then she'll realize, oh, I, that was actually beneficial.
And, you know, if you look into what is happening now, a lot of women are fed this crazy idea that they can leave something that is already built for them, a home, a house, a husband. Oh, no, he's not paying me attention. Are you paying him attention?
Can I be honest? I understand what you're saying, Dad, but this is where I get really, really confused, because I look at most people around, and especially with what I see online, and I don't want to judge the entirety of the world by what I see online, but most men and women are just not great.
And I understand.
You know? So then you're like, is she paying him attention? Maybe she actually is. And you know what? Is he paying her attention? Maybe he actually is, and she's just a superficial loser, and he's just a narcissistic asshole. Sometimes it's literally...
Sometimes it's that.
But not sometimes. If I'm being honest, nowadays, it is mostly that. Fihum
la'is. What are we doing here? We're trying to help people with the naqs, with what is missing.
I know. But that's why I'm saying, when you say, are you paying him attention? Sometimes, yes, that's what I'm saying.
I will go back and say, take any relationship to the basics, and go back to the basics.
Back to the basics, I'll start at square one. I think people are choosing the wrong partners.
I had an incident 20 years ago, okay. A friend of mine who was married to an American. And they used to call me every week to try to, like, talk to them because things are not happening. And it was very mentally and emotionally exhausting. And
taxing, yeah.
And I would sit with her, and she would give me a long list of all the things she did to him. I would sit with him, and he would give me the very short list of things he wants. Mm. And again, I'm like, Baba, that what he wants. Nobody did this and this and this and this to him.
Okay, but what if then they picked the wrong partner?
They were definitely the wrong partner.
That's what I'm saying. So maybe she needs a man who wants the things she's offering. And that's not her man.
Unless
what she was offering is what she thinks a man wants, and it's no man wants that. Yes. Because I know that's what you're trying to say.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
I get you.
In that case, and I rarely take the position, the stand of a man. I usually end up like on the side of woman, because I genuinely have this empathy and sympathy towards them and deep love. Now, in this case, they separated, and I know it was to a great deal her fault, because she was brought in a different way, and it's just. She's absolutely sure that that's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And all what he's saying is like, all of this I don't need. This is what I need.
Yeah.
Which is very basic. But the minute you mention it, you see how she flips.
Yeah.
And she goes into a completely different
state. Yeah.
She doesn't want to relate to it. She doesn't want to see it.
I mean, listen, I have my friend. You met him when we had game night. I'm not going to say his name. Mm. I grew up with him. I've known him since I was 14 in Jordan. And he is now basically courting a girl through the dads, like this is very formal, that حيخطبوا يجوزوا, they're going to get engaged and get married inshallah if there's khair in the affair. But he comes from a rich family, but he's also a very hardworking man. He doesn't want to take any money from his dad. He hasn't in a very long time. The car that he drives in Jordan, he says, this is the car my dad bought me. I don't claim it's like my money and my accolades and blah, blah, blah. So he was talking to her about, you know, the potential wedding. And she's insisting she wants a big, big festivity. And I know the guy. He's not a big festivity kind of guy. That's number one. And number two, she was saying also, no, لازم مطرب. They have to bring a singer, راغب علامة or something like that.
I would give him very simple advice.
Wait, and then he told her, and he was like, no, not because of the money. It's not his vibe. And she was like, why? It's just $60,000 or dinars. It's nothing. And he was turned off by that. Yeah. Like, yeah, I want to spoil you. And I don't want you to worry about money. If you want, he even said, she wants to work, أهلا وسهلا. But it's not necessary. Like, her money is her money, and I will take care of everything. But to hear the word 60,000 is nothing. طفى قلبه.
Is she paying it?
No.
Of course. That's why it's nothing.
Yeah, but this is... But bear with me here. What I'm trying to say is this is where I struggle with the fine line of women need to be sheltered and not do any and blah, blah. But then it's like, but then I'm telling you, Dad, my mom, I love her to bits and pieces. She knows 60,000 is a lot of money. She doesn't understand the work that goes behind 60,000. Do you understand what... And I understand her. I'm not shaming her at all. The old generation who don't work, they don't... Do you see?
Wait,
I will add to that. Men of your generation complain all the time. I work like a dog. She doesn't understand the value of money. All of you and your friends complain about this.
What I would say is...
Where's the fine line?
You need to shelter a woman from behaving this way. Like if he accepts and he allows this to happen, it's a lost marriage from day one. I would actually advise him to leave this relationship.
Believe you me, I've told him.
Because this woman is focusing on the superficial versus the actual.
Typical Jordanian girl who just wants to put on the dress. She's marrying him for the show, not for him. Wadha.
She's not marrying a man. She wants a wedding. That's a major difference.
Most of those women want a wedding.
And three weeks later, there is nothing.
That's what I said. Listen, I love him to bits and pieces. He's one of my oldest, dearest friends. He also needs to go on his own journey. But I would like to say I know he's a smart guy and he'll figure it out, inshallah.
We wish him the best.
Well, I don't know him. I wish him the best and I listen.
He's a very sweet boy. Run.
There's no consolation with this.
No, there isn't. There's no compromise. Listen, the fact that that's the first thing he led with telling me the story, and he told me, he's like, Tafa Albi, he knows what he needs to do. And I know the boy, he's very smart with what he needs to do. I think the one thing is that the dads are involved. So it's trickier. You know what I mean? Anyway, la'allu khair. But I wanted to say, I know what you're saying, Dad, but I'm going to give an example. My editor, please bleep out this name. Okay? Sheltered, but exposed. You would think there's enough where her dad raised her to take accountability, but also she's gotten everything she wanted on a silver platter. The most spoiled reactions I'd seen in my life, and they shocked me. They traumatized me, if I'm being honest. So again, where is the fine line? Because I'll tell you what, her dad's a really good dad.
We need to go back and define the word shelter. And we need to go back and define the word look after a woman. It doesn't mean
Bamber I will tell you, objectively speaking, her dad did everything he could to give her the best life and teach her morals and ethics. I've sat with him multiple times. He's a really good man. You know what I mean? And everything they wanted was there. بس روحي شوفي العالم بس بنفس الوقت هون الليميتس. So المفروض انه we know the value of... I'm telling you, you're talking about an impossibility because give me a woman in today's world who is sheltered enough from that behavior, but also give me one.
What I want to say is...
No, don't deflect. No. Give me one. I'm not deflecting.
I cannot give you
one. Because they don't exist. So you're talking about an impossible equation.
I think they do exist. You see, a woman should have protection. A woman should have
security.
A woman should have, but she should have guidance and firm lines put for her. Like you remember how we used to deal with each other when I tell you this is a line. This line, if you cross it, either this and this and this is going
to
happen.
Do you know what I used to do? This is the line. And he'd be like, don't. And I'm literally like a cat. I'm like...
That's how women behave all the time.
He'd be like, Layla.
That's how women behave all the time. It's how they tell...
I'm just thinking about Prophet Lut's wife, that story.
Oh.
Where he says, don't look back. She looks back.
No,
that's different.
That was different because really? She was completely
Okay.
She was an unbeliever. She's actually one of the worst examples of a human. You could.
Vibes.
Yeah.
Vibes. But yeah. But my point is that honestly, can I be really honest with you? I love you. You're giving me an impossible equation. And an equation that is dependent on so many other factors. So to the woman listening now, if she's like, okay, I don't have a good dad, or my dad passed away when I was 5, or me and my dad no longer speak, or my dad did the best with what he had, and I love him, he's a good man, but these were his limitations. You're giving me an equation that is fundamentally impossible to recreate.
A lot of women are in this situation where the man is not there. Now, and they have no guidance and they have no protection. What can they do?
Allah
Jalla Jalla. Go back to the basic. What we do is we gave you a format of almost every shade of
Can I give existence. An example with what you're saying? I think it's a really important note. It's a different story, but it ties in with what you're saying very well. So if you don't have the father figure or the that you need to look up to, like we always say, you have the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and our God and our book and our masters and our history. Tamam. I will also add one thing, because you always tell me, Baba,
يحرفون الكلمة عن موضعه.
Okay. You always tell me, يحرفون الكلمة عن موضعه, which means they basically alter the meaning of words to fit their warped scenario and what they need to make sense at the time. And that came up, subhanAllah, just recently when I posted a video about what do you mean plan? Why do you think you're better than Allah? You know, Allah is the greatest of planners. So you set the intention and you pay good attention. You pay attention with good intention, right? And a lot of people, this is where they twist the words. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam or God said, tie your camel first. Why are you twisting what tie your camel means? When I say plan, when I say set an intention, that is a form of planning. But your form of planning is you with stress and anxiety and depression and panic. And if something doesn't go according to plan, it's chaos and mayhem and at home and a maverick that sweeps everything and destroys it. Why are you changing what God intended? So yes, find God, but don't twist God's words. I'm really sick of it. When Allah said, tie your camel, He didn't say, tie your camel, and you sit panicking, freaking out, and disaster, and every 2 seconds is like, did I tie the camel? Is the camel really tied? Did someone come and steal the camel? Where is the yaqeen? And what is more important, the tying of the camel or the faith in God?
See, I read...
Did you read the comments?
Yes.
Thank
yes.
you.
And... what I noticed is in most of the cases, if you tell people anything which is outside of their
norm,
mundane, common day, those of so-called reality or facts, they will react so aggressively.
Yeah.
Well, please slow down. There might be a slight angle there, which it enables you to see with a bit of depth or expansion.
Yeah.
No, we have to the plan. I am a planner. You are a planner. If you are an over-planner, most probably your life is suck. Your life sucks.
And God help your partner.
We talked about this, by the
and
way,
God
in the last
help your
podcast.
Partner. Where's exactly. the spontaneity? Where's the flexibility?
We
Where's
talked
the love
about
for life?
This. We said that over-planning kills the joy.
Kills the joy.
Kills the joy.
Kills the joy, disappoints you.
Yeah.
And so on and so
of
forth.
Of course.
Now, where is the formula? The formula is you cannot start anything without having a simple map in your head. Step one, step two, step three. And then...
But even the map, when you, this is what I'm trying to change in people's minds. The map isn't I'm planning, it's I am putting an intention.
It is an intention.
Because it's very different. People, that's why I'm saying, غيروا معنى plan. And the energy that's attached to planning now. That's why I'm saying when you set an intention, it's very different because I'm setting it with positivity. So step one, step two, step three. The intention is to get this job, to save this money, to buy my family a house. These are beautiful intentions. No, I want to say this one. You don't get to say it. You don't get to say it. I'm going to say this, okay? Ali alayhi salam or radiallahu anhu, I serve all purposes here because I actually don't know which one's the right one. So
I'll take alayhi salam.
I'll take alayhi salam. But people are always like, so anyway, okay? This is from Ali alayhi salam where someone came and asked him, كيف عرفت ربك? Or كيف عرفت الله? And he answered, بكسر العزائم
بنقد العزائم كسر أو نقد العزائم.
Okay, so بكسر العزائم, in this case عزائم is when you set an intention and you made a plan and you set your mind on something, right?
عزمت على أمر يعني خلاص
I'm gonna do it. So that's how he discovered Allah, through the breaking of his plans, of his intentions, of what he wanted to set forth in motion. And there is a beauty in that that people are negating because they want to focus on tie your camel first. But I will be honest with you, I don't want to cry, but I did find God through the every breaking of my plan, through the breaking of my ego, through the breaking of any intention I set forth, no matter how pure I thought it was. Because وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْءٌ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Everything that came was better than what I intended, which proves what? Allah is the best of planners. So tie your camel, but don't worry about if the camel is still tied.
بِنَقْدِ الْعَزَائِمِ وَكَيْفَ عَرَفْتَ اللَّهَ
It's long. Will be something. I read it. I don't remember it by heart. But Do you know what I mean? And azam here is a big word. I did look into it. It is a big word.
Allah.
But
you see, azam.
You know? So people want to focus on tying the camel.
In Arabic, we say azam ala shay, yani khalas. وهم بشيء.
Yeah.
ف بنقد العزائم و الله يا حبيبي يا رسول الله.
But can I say something? You know, to adding of the twisting of the words, there is a saying. I think it's by Umar. One of the Umars, there's so many Umars, I need to get my names better. But of something of, if you see someone straying from religion, guide them in the right direction. And that's why a lot of the comments under my video would be like, where's your hijab, for example. But they twist words to fit their narratives. Do you know what I mean? Even in Christianity, I've said this before, and I found this explanation a lot more disciplined. And it made more sense for my Christian brothers and sisters. When they say, you know, when someone slaps you, give them the other cheek, they took it as a form of, you know, such tolerance and such vulnerability. But someone, I heard, I think it was Shahad Bolson that said, it's more of an act of rebellion. You give me, you know, if you slap me and I give you my cheek and I say, do it again. Yal, law zalame, do it again. That's more disciplined. That's more strong in your faith in God and your ability to retaliate with God backing you. But they twist words to fit very demonic narratives. So I'm just going to leave it at that. Y'all really need to stop twisting words to fit your limited mindset of what serves your very selfish purpose at the time. Because religion and discipline and spirituality and God have more to do with breaking your ego and going out of your way to serve a higher purpose. And not the other way around, where religion goes out of its way to serve your purpose. Does that make sense? Am I making sense?
It makes absolute sense.
Thanks, Vibes. Thanks. You ignore me. You just...
I'm listening. Yeah, it makes absolute I'm listening.
Sense. We actually discussed this in Saudi.
I know that. I know.
Did we? When? In the hotel room. When we just said that.
Yes, yes.
Religions we know today is very different from how it was practiced thousands of years
and
ago.
And they switch it and they change it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Agreed.
One of the beautiful saying of Wahid Min Kibar الأئمة الكبار قال إن الله يريد أن يعبد من حيث أراده لا من حيث أردت أنت.
Yeah, God wants to be worshipped the way He wants to be worshipped, not the way you want to worship Him. And we worship God in very selfish, human, limited mind ways because
Satan actually did not say that. No, I don't believe you are God.
No, it was. واستكبر وكان من الكافرين.
I'm gonna do everything you want. I believe you're a great God. You created me, but this part here, I don't.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah, yeah. And that's ego.
Which is the human part.
It's you're not going out of your way. It's you want God to go out of His way to fit your twisted narrative.
Exactly.
So with Satan, it was واستكبر وكان من الكافرين. It's just because تكبر.
One little thing
of no, that I won't do. One, and it's pride, and it's
the
tekabur.
He did a good job actually explaining why he didn't.
Yeah. He went into details, like my comments of why, why no.
So.
تكبر وكان من الكافرين.
قال أنا خير منه.
أنا خير.
تعال أشرح لك.
خلقته من طين. خلقتني من نار وخلقته من طين.
It's when Adam was created and all the angels. خلقتني
من نار Which one does he say first?
أن قال أنا خير من خلقته من نار خلقتني من نار وخلقته من
قال أنا خير من angels
all everyone so bowed, God yeah. asked the angels to bow and Satan didn't want to
he said واستكبر مكان الكافرين إنه إيش حكى أنا خير من خلقتني من نار وخلقته من طين.
Yeah, and he came with a full concept, with a full
and a thesis. Yeah, we have receipts to back up why أنا خير من.
and a measuring scale, what makes this good and this bad? Like you want to equate fire to mud? Fire is way, way more important than mud. Like, and who gave this parameter? Who just gave those criteria to fire and mud? Who put the distinction here that this is better? I did.
Yeah. So honestly, but you know what's very interesting? Because I think about this with istikbar and I go out of my way to like try not to itkabar. We're all human and we have it, but I really do. So there's Charlie Kirk, who works with Candace Owens. He's Zionist, very pro-Israel, very, you know, and I'm very aware of that fact. But I still watch him because he's a very smart man. Oh, that's a smart man. And he's really trying to change the youth, you know. And I watch him because I'm like, even if it's someone who I have fundamental disagreements with, maybe he's smarter than me. You know what I mean? So I go out of my way sometimes. So with my videos, maybe I said something.
If you look into how pure heavenly concepts are changed through the history, they change in the same methodology and process that the Satan did with
we know.
with the first
fall. Sorry, guys, they came to tell us we have 10 minutes. Yeah, sorry.
With the first fall. I'll come to a concept that's been given and clearly it's a heavenly, godly concept. And I say, okay, I'm okay with that. It's just this part here. Let's go just twist it a little bit.
But it changed the whole thing.
Exactly. It makes it from worshipping God to worshipping yourself. That's it. That's as simple as that.
Yeah. And yeah. I feel that, I don't know everyone, and I don't know, it's about intentions, right? But maybe, I find it in myself sometimes as well, is I tend to pray and focus on this dunya more than the after. You know what I mean? Mm. And I think that's...
When you're praying for things?
Yeah, like in the past, when I used to pray for things or think about things or reflect things, it's very heavily focused on in this life. You know what I mean? I know,
but at least you pray. Yeah, so the thing is, of course. I saw a reel. This was very interesting. She's a Lebanese girl. She was on a podcast. And she was saying that she prays 5 times a day and she fasts. And she's very religious and very connected to God and loves our Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. But she's a dancer. Not an exotic dancer. She's like the same way you study martial arts or you paint. She loves dancing, you know? But she posts videos that are a little... She's not dressed modestly, for lack of a better word. And then the comments of Muslims saying, "Mat salli ahsan," which means don't pray, it's better. How dare you?
Disagree. I'm not condoning what she does.
This was a reel that I was trying to make and you completely broke it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Not too late. Gone.
No, go for it.
No, I'm not going to restart it. No, I like the authenticity. It's fine, okay? Guys, you don't get a reel. But my point is the comments of them saying don't pray, ahsan lik, and people typing in Arabic, right? So these are the Arab of Arabs. And it's like, tabarki Allah hadaha. Tabarki, she's right and you're wrong. Berki, she's a better Muslim than you are with her bikini on Instagram. How would you know? How would you know?
As someone...
No, how would you know?
I'll tell you.
Because no.
No, you don't know.
You don't know because we have... Thank you, Dad. When I ask you a question, answer it, bro. No, you don't know.
Thinking of what I'm... You, whatever somebody is doing as wrong, you condone that between you and yourself. But don't focus on it. But never ask someone...
To stop praying. No, they literally were commenting on her video, "Stop praying, ahsan lik." That is insane.
That's insane.
Even as a joke, why would you joke like that?
No.
Maybe she reads it and just goes like, maybe you affect her and she stops praying. She sounds like a very faithful girl. So,
yeah.
But what are you doing?
There is no masiya. There is no fault or mistake that prayer does not take away.
Yeah.
And... by disconnecting the line between you and God, what will that make bring you back to God?
Or even someone when they, let's say it's Ramadan, someone, I don't know who this person is, but they drink and someone says, "Oh, it's better you don't fast. It's not going to count anyway."
Why would you do
that? Nonsense.
Why would you do that?
Maybe someone fasts and realizes during those 30 days, wait, I kind of don't need alcohol. I'm better without it. And then don't go back to it. You know, you don't know what happens.
The greatest sin is to do a sin and say it's not a sin.
Yes.
Can you give an example?
For example, like to let's say I'm a Muslim and I drink alcohol, to say, "Oh, it's not haram to drink."
It's not haram.
At least I'm drinking and I'm acknowledging it is haram. When I know it's haram, inshallah, Allah removes me off of it.
Thank you.
For example, I'm not saying this is what I do. I'm saying for example.
I am not asking you to go do sins. But as long as you acknowledge it's a sin, there is a really good hope that inshallah you will leave it.
Yeah.
And then if you know it's a sin, babul istighfari maftuh.
Always.
But... never asks, "أفرأيت الذي ينهى عبدا إذا صلى أفرأيت إن كان على الهدى." Never ask someone to stop praying.
Yeah, I really want to take a moment to say this because I see those videos of reverts or of incomplete Muslims. Or I always say, we said this last time, I took the most open-minded road back to Islam. take a step back, yo, and allow me my peace and my time to find my Islam and my God on my own time. I'm doing the best that I can. But to see those comments under people's videos of stop praying, it's better. How dare you as a Muslim go ask someone to stop praying? Have you lost your marbles? Do you understand how grave that is?
The idea that we all supposed to look the same and act the same and wear the same.
It's insane.
It's insane.
It's demonic.
It's demonic.
That's the epitome of what we talk about when we say they're trying to make us sheep and robots in a factory.
What do you mean, say wear the same, look the same? What?
Dress in a certain way, look a certain way, speak a certain way. You pray this exact way. You're not allowed to pray in any other way. It's very wrong, babe.
We're
all shades and colors and sizes. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam acknowledged this, by the way.
You know Mao Zedong, when he made everybody wear the same clothes? Who? Mao Zedong in China.
Well, okay.
One of the horrible whatever. He made everybody wear the same clothes and do the same thing.
Very dystopian.
Yeah, it resulted in
catastrophic results.
Results. And no. Now all Muslims should wear the same thing. All men should wear the same clothes. Where is the cultural differences?
Yeah.
We come.
Even the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when people, well, back then they didn't drive, they rode from different places of the world to come see him. He embraced them and welcomed them into his home with all their different attire and different. صح ولا لا?
The attire code, the language code, the social code.
You need to tell people if I'm صح ولا لا.
صح.
Thank you.
The attire code, the social code. The communication, Islam is so huge and big, it can cover all of that and more.
Also, aren't we the most, Islam is the number one religion in the world. I think we're over a billion Muslims in the world.
No, we're not the number one.
No, we are. We surpassed most, it.
The biggest people religion, what's the...
No, sorry. It's, to quote it right, it is the fastest growing religion,
yes,
but it's not the number one most...
No,
I thought we are now.
No.
It's the number one fastest growing.
No, I
religion.
Think that changed. I think we
really?
Are now. Yeah,
because that's the last thing I read.
Well, how do I even ask this question? Who is the? What is the?
What
most
is?
What is the most? What?
What is the most
the
practiced
most
religion?
Practiced religion in the world.
Practiced it will.
It's Christianity. Islam.
Oh no, it's Christianity.
But
my bad.
Islam
my bad.
Is the number one fastest growing religion.
Okay, I'm so sorry. I thought I read. Yeah, it's that. Okay. I'm sorry, 2 billion, over 2 billion Christians and over 1 billion Muslims. How, in what world are they all going to behave the same way? All the Christians are going to look and behave the same way, and all the Muslims are going to look and behave the
and
same way.
And dress the same way.
And dress and speak and sound and have you lost? People are crazy. Anyway.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
One of the amazing saying of our beloved Prophet alayhi wa ala alayhi wa salatu wa salam. إن هذا الدين متين فأوغلوا فيه برفق.
يعني.
This is متين means very solid. This religion is very solid. Delve into it gently. أوغل.
Yeah.
Delve into it gently, because how deep you delve, it's gonna cater for you. But the gentleness.
Yeah.
الرفق.
Yeah.
Is an essential part of your journey of knowledge and experience.
To add to that, Imam Ali alayhi salam said, do not inherit your religion. Now, what does that mean?
Allah.
It means despite your parents doing the best that they can, and they may be great Muslims, they may be not so great Muslims, do not inherit your religion from them. Take the best of what they have to offer you.
And
if they did offer any good, and you do your due diligence, and you go, and you look into Islam, I saw a meme. It was really funny. It was like, oh, you're not into politics and religion. What are you into? Pokemon? Like, honestly, as an adult, as a grown man or woman, go look into things of substance, history, religion, politics, the way of the world, the way things are built, relationships,
but
things that will add value. So there is a hikmah there. Do not inherit your religion. And honestly, especially today, you have no excuse. Everything is a button away, a click away. And my biggest piece of advice, leave all your previous learnings at the door and go into it with the most open mind. You don't know what you could find. You honestly, the potential is limitless.
Unlearn what you've learned.
Unlearn what you've learned.
But God forbid, then you will become enlightened. And that's
God forbid.
I like that.
And then I think, oh, that's right on time. Can you not remove your mic before I say goodbye? Can you take a step back so you don't block my camera? Thank you very much.
He was ready to leave.
He was ready. وطلع. We need to say goodbye. I keep spitting. Anyway, we didn't pause and break this into two parts. So I don't know how we're going to do this.
It's a nice medley.
It is.
You remember the part when, that could be a good part too.
What?
When we really disagreed.
What did we disagree on?
Okay, you watch the part and you know.
Tell me, what did we disagree on?
I forgot, Baba. There was this moment of taking, maybe there.
The money.
The money.
The you're wrong, I'm wrong. Yeah, that one. Oh my God.
Let's call it the phone call.
The phone call.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, guys, let us know what you thought of having... Hafaf, you didn't speak as much, but I get it. You were like mediating the convo and Dad hasn't been here in a while. I understand.
Yeah, it's okay. Next time. if
you're such a millennial. We're millennials. Everything is a peace sign. But let us know what you guys think of this episode. And then do you guys have anything to say?
Oh, we were going to let you finish.
I don't know.
We have to say?
Dad, you have to say bye to your people. They missed you.
Allah, Allah, Allah. Allah yahfazkum Rabbi. I just pray that what we do here help you see some things in slightly different way. Because it's all about vision. It's all about the angle of vision.
Yeah. Perspective.
Perspective. Nothing changes. It's just your perspective changes. Yeah. That makes a whole...
This is true.
Yes.
What about you?
Oh, it's very beautiful. I'm just so lucky to be here. To be enlightened.
Enlightened.
No, honestly, it's true.
Yeah, I am with. I laugh when I hear the word enlightened, because the age of enlightenment was actually the age of darkness. But that's just me.
Never mind. I'm not gonna say it.
What?
for the West.
For the West? Yeah. Well, you know.
It's like in the West, they found their enlightenment when Islam founded hundreds of years ago. But
yeah,
I'll stop.
They were throwing their garbage out the window when we were performing eye surgery.
When we found mathematics.
And algebra. And come on now, bro.
Alhamdulillah. Very few people in the West are fair enough to admit that
he's right.
The Muslim civilization
saved
Europe.
They do give us credit.
No, he's saying very few.
No, very few. No,
babe,
but that's what I'm saying.
I will back up my argument. Kingdom of Heaven, the movie with Orlando Bloom and Ava Green, okay? And Edward Norton.
But that's why I agree with him.
It failed, not because of... it's great cinematography, beautiful acting, very historically accurate. But that is exactly why it failed, because it is extremely historically accurate.
And they showed
Salah ad-Din as the best of the best. Harrar Jerusalem, united all three Abrahamic religions. He was a merciful, he was a beautiful ruler. And that movie failed. And they tried to black, what's the word I'm looking for? Blacklist it because of what it was. But anyway. Yeah,
there is a certain propaganda image that is being fed, and everybody should adhere to it.
I know, adhere to it, I know. But anyway, guys, thank you so much. Let us know what you think in the comments below. And I don't know if I'm dividing this into two parts, but this was great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.